You preach. I had to get up and go, and you know, and she's still sitting there. And the next day, another 4 hours. You either lock yourself in the room to hear you preach for 4 hours, or you come back for more. So remind me of Paul sitting under the teaching of Gamaliel, you know, just under his teaching and sitting and learning. And I think, man, that's just something special to be able to accept someone's convictions and what the Lord's doing in their life. I at the end of the day, struggled a little bit with Janet accepting me from where I came from. And I even said to her at one particular time, I said, you know, does my past bother you? I know I'm saved and all the rest of it. But she's been brought up in a Christian home, and I feel unworthy. By the way, let me say this. It's to every single person, it should be in such a way that you thought that you would never find a woman like that. Amen? That's how it should be for every man marrying that woman, that you thought you'd never find one like this. Praise God. And I felt the same way. I'm not worthy of this person. Even to the point, I don't think she knows. Even to the point we're actually standing waiting for her to come. I honestly thought, you know, I'm not worthy. I am, and still to this day, I'm not worthy. And I think that ought to be in every husband's heart toward his wife. He's not worthy. And that God, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. You know, wives are blessings from the hand of God. Amen. And what we're going to do tonight is just simply go through a brief devotion. It's 6:30 or just 6:35. About 10, 15 minutes on the cross. All right, go to Philippians chapter 2, and then what we'll do is observe this Lord's Supper together as a church. Have a look at Philippians chapter 2. We'll begin from verse 5 of Philippians chapter 2. All right, notice what the Bible says there. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Notice this phrase here, even the death of the cross. Even the death of the cross. When we sit together tonight, remembering the wine, which is the grape juice, the body, the blood, which is the wine, grape juice, the body of Christ, which is a symbol there of the bread, the unleavened bread, because he had no sin. We remember the sufferings of the cross. That's what we remember. The Bible says, even the death of the cross. Even. So it wasn't just an ordinary death. It was the death of the cross. It was the crucifixion of Christ. Now, the crucifixion was a shameful death. It might be compared to the gallows, electric chair, the gas chamber, in a little way. But what was shameful about it is this is what they had given to murderers. Murderers, you know, they murderers died in this way. Man of God once said, and that was the form of death reserved for heaven's best when he came into the world. Death of the cross. Heaven's best when he came into the world. He didn't die a natural death in his bed. He didn't die an accidental death. Died a shameful death, even the death of the cross. That's what we remember. We remember the sufferings of Christ physically, emotionally. He felt it a little in the garden because he was God, the God-man that knew all things, that submitted his hand under the will of God. And we see in Romans that the Hebrew writer testifies that he endured the cross. For the joy, you know, the first joy, why he endured, and it was joy for him to endure the cross. The will of the Father. Second, I believe joy was for the fact that he had you and I in mind. I remember about 11 years ago, I wrote a poem called The Cross at Calvary. The cross at Calvary, the cross I see at Calvary, the cross I see, he died for me. The cross I see, 6 hours of pain and shame, he endured for me. The cross I see, naked, hanging on a tree. The cross I see, him looking down at me and saying, if you are the only one alive, I would have still had come and died for thee. When we see the sufferings of, when we see the cross, we see the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ. But also when we remember the cross of Christ, we don't only see his sufferings, but we see the forgiveness that we have. Have a look at Colossians chapter 1, if you will. Colossians chapter 1, just a letter over. In Colossians chapter 1, notice verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Notice verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Go down to chapter 2, verse 13. Notice. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. How? By nailing it on the cross. We see Paul reminds them that they were dead in their sins before their conversion. In other words, they were spiritually dead men walking before their conversion. And he says that Christ had lifted up the curse, if you will, of the law that was against us by dying on the cross for us. Because of that, we have the forgiveness of sin. Because of the cross of Christ and the crucifixion, you and I have the forgiveness of sin through his cross, through his blood. So we remember the sufferings of Christ. We remember the forgiveness of sin that we have because of it. But also tonight we remember the peace that we have because of the cross. Go back to chapter 1 and have a look at verse 19 of Colossians. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, that's in Christ, having made peace through the blood of his what? By him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled. Reconciled, made peace with God once again. How? Through the cross. When sin entered into the world, man was separated from God. Man therefore needed to be reconciled to God. Reconciled means to be restored to a right relationship with God. The carnal mind is enmity with God. So therefore the man needed reconciliation. The purpose of the death of Christ on the cross was to make that possible, the reconciliation. And Jesus was the one that gripped the hand of God and the hand of man, bringing them together through the death of his cross, making peace. You know, Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we remember by looking at the cross, the crucified Christ, not only his sufferings, not only the forgiveness of sins that we have, not only the restoration and the peace that we can have with God, but tonight we remember the glory in the cross. Go to Galatians chapter 6, have a look in Galatians chapter 6, a couple of letters going back. Notice verse 14, what Paul mentions. We know the context of the letter, that these Galatians were being bewitched. And he was trying to let them know that you that have begun in the spirit, are you made perfect in the flesh? And if we read verses prior to verse 14, we see how some would want to glory in their flesh by making them to be circumcised. And he then goes on to say that it's not circumcision. It's not the circumcision that takes place or makes you right or perfected with God. He goes back and goes back to what? The cross. Notice in verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You know, Paul was not boasting in the flesh of men, but rather he was boasting in the cross of Christ. He glories in the changing power of the crucified Christ. He glories in that. A man of God once said, on that cross, the world died to Paul, and Paul died to the world. He goes on to say, when a man is saved, the world says goodbye to him, and he says goodbye to the world, glorying in the cross. He glories in the one that died for him and saved him and now wants to be made by him to look like him. Why? Because of the cross. The cross signifies or symbolizes a man dead to himself, and alive in Christ. That's why in the same letter Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life now that I live in the flesh, I live by what? Faith in the Son of God who loved me. There's the motivating factor. And gave himself for me. I'm crucified with Christ. He gloried in the cross. So remember that this is no doubt, notice in verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision, nor uncircumcision, but a what? But a new creature. This born-again transaction that takes place when a person looks to the one that had been lifted up. Remember John chapter 3? He'd be lifted up and draw all men to him. They will look and live. So this is what takes place. Glory comes into the soul of a person, and this regeneration takes place. According to Titus, it mentions there, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. It talks about the regeneration of the Holy Ghost. Born again transaction that takes place when a person looks to the one that was lifted up on the cross by faith. Look and live. But we also remember, lastly tonight, there's so many things that we can remember when we look to the cross. But for the sake of time, we'll finish with this one. We remember the power of the preaching of the cross of Christ. Have a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, what Paul mentions. Preaching of the cross of Christ. It was, by the way, the power of the gospel that saved us, amen? The dynamite. And that's why Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to anyone. Amen? It's not limited. So anyone that would what? Believe. Power is available to anyone that would believe. And the power of the gospel is able to save and change a person into Christ-likeness. Look at this, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of words. Notice why he says this. Lest the cross of Christ shall be made of none effect. See that? Do you see how the cross of Christ is so simple and doesn't need eloquence of speech? Why? Because the eloquence or the illustration or whatever can take away from what Christ did on that cross. That cross of Christ. You know, sometimes when you get stuck preaching, you don't know what to preach on, preach the cross of Christ. Amen. Sometimes you get stuck and you don't know how to witness to someone, preach the cross, share the cross of Christ. Can't go wrong there. Because there is the power of God. The power of Christ being crucified. Notice what he says in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Look, they're making this great pearl, this treasure of the preaching of the cross, like trampled under, like a pig. Foolishness to them that are perishing. Well, we should not be moved. Preach the cross of Christ to make us think that there's no power. I guarantee you, if you live your life having this message on the cross, if you live your life sharing the cross of Christ and you're not ashamed of him and you're not ashamed of his sufferings, God will. That we are looking for honor. God honors the one that lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ. Not ashamed of his stripes. Paul said that he was glad that they weren't ashamed of his bonds because of the cross of Christ. Making you feel like something's wrong. But notice what he continues to say, but unto us which are saved. The power of God. The power of God. Wow. Ever get stuck preaching or sharing the gospel? Just preach the cross of Christ. Someone once said to preach Christ without the cross is to betray him with a kiss. You have to preach the cross. Sufferings. The Bible details the sufferings of Christ on that cross. As a matter of fact, when we're gathering here tonight, we're remembering the suffering, the broken body, the because it was an expensive, expensive gift, but precious. I want to read by reading this article that I found on the crucifixion of Christ. It talks about in a small village stood a chapel upon whose arch were inscribed the words, "We preach Christ crucified." That all who entered the chapel or stood outside might understand the purpose for which the meeting room had been built. For years, godly men preached there and presented a crucified Savior as the only means to salvation. But as those generation of godly preachers passed, there arose a generation that considered the cross and its message the gospel of the shambles. And began to preach salvation by Christ's example and teaching without the necessity of his sacrificial death on the cross. A little creeper made its way up the side of the archway and covered the final word of the inscription so that it was completely hidden from view. Now the inscription read, "We preach Christ." And so they did, but not Christ crucified. After some time, some asked why the sermon should be confined to Christ and the teachings of the Bible. So the preachers began to give discourses of social gospel, politics, and without Christ. And the little creeper crept along a little further and wiped out the third word of the inscription so that it read simply, "We preach." Man's philosophies and social conditions had taken the place of Christ's gospel. The Apostle Paul, one man who turned the world upside down in the first century, determined when in cultured Corinth to know nothing among them but Jesus Christ and him crucified. When we look at this tonight and we remember the power of the crucified gospel. Without Christ on the cross, without sharing the sufferings of Christ and why he had to go through what he did, the gospel cannot be delivered in a powerful way. The cross of Christ must be declared to all. It was Spurgeon that said, if you don't have Christ in your message, it's like having bread with no flour. Christ is a center of all that we do, but Christ crucified is the center. That's what we remember tonight. Christ crucified. power of that and how it saved us. Again, there's another place in the scriptures where it talks about how he had broken the middle war of partition through the cross, joining the hand of the Jews and the hand of the Gentiles. Beautiful thing that is. In Christ, the common bond that we have. Before we observe the Lord's Supper tonight, let me just give some simple things I always do and must do. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, and they that gladly received his word were baptized and added to the church, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, fellowship, breaking of bread. If you haven't been saved, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, please refrain from taking this tonight. If you haven't been biblically baptized, please refrain. But one other thing, if you're a Christian and you have been saved, biblically baptized, part of a good church, and you have stubborn sins in your life that you're not ready to confess and forsake, please don't take this tonight. However, tonight is the opportunity to break down the stubbornness of our hearts, isn't it? We can come before the Lord and say, Lord, cleanse my heart. Search my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Try my thoughts, Lord, and I want you to bring them to the surface that I may confess and forsake. I may remember what you did on that cross and how you suffered. So tonight we remember, we give thanks, and we reflect upon our life. If I can get Brother James, if you come up first and turn to 1 Corinthians, if I can get you to present the Lord's cup. Go to 1 Corinthians, if you would. Have a look at verse 11. That's what Paul says there. First of all, what we'll do, I'll get Brother Nathan as well, if you can come up for Christ as well. We can do this at the same time. To pray, give thanks for the broken body, Brother Nathan, after that, pray and give thanks for the shed blood of Christ. And then while they're distributing the elements, ponder upon